From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We're glad you've decided to join us for today's program. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for the next half hour for a message from God's Holy Word, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series on the life of Christ. Taking his text from Matthew 12, verses 14 through 34, Dr. Cairns deals with the subject of Christ, beloved by God, but blasphemed by men. First, however, here's Dr. Cairns with today's hot topic, Florida School Tries to Stop Bible Distribution.
Last January, two members of the Gideon's organization stopped their car near a school in Key Largo, Florida, and, standing in the public sidewalk, began distributing copies of the Bible. The principal of the school, Annette Martinson, promptly called the police, and an officer, John Perez, responded to the call. When the two Gideons got back into their car and prepared to leave, Perez stopped them and arrested them for trespassing. The police officer was visibly angry at the Bible distributors. He placed them in handcuffs, stuffed them in a closed police car without air conditioning, the temperature was around 90 that day, and left them there for almost an hour. He had their car towed away and then hauled them off to jail, all the while mocking them. Now you can pray to Jesus all the way to jail. The Monroe County Sheriff's Office issued a statement citing the police report that the Gideons had been arrested, quotes, for trespassing on school property, not on a public sidewalk. The statement went on, and I quote, "In fact, they were given the opportunity to step off school property and onto public property, and they could have continued with their activities if they had done so. They chose instead to remain, against repeated warnings, on school property, so deputies were forced to arrest them." Close the quote. The problem with the sheriff's office's statement is that the police report it cites clearly states that the men were arrested in their car, which, with other cars, was parked near but not on school property. Lawyers from the Alliance Defense Fund took up the case and succeeded in having the initial trespassing charges dismissed. But the Florida authorities were determined to go after the Bible distributors. They filed a second round of counts under a different law that prohibits anyone from being within 500 feet of any school property, including on public sidewalks and streets, without having either legitimate business or permission. Thankfully, when this case came to court, the judge agreed that the two Gideons should never have been arrested and dismissed all counts against them. This is a serious case. It's perfectly lawful to distribute copies of the Bible on the public sidewalk. It's a freedom of speech guaranteed by the United States Constitution. But these days, there are people in places of authority who are dead set on banning Christian witness from the public square, and who are particularly determined to deny Christians the freedom to influence children who are being brainwashed by secularists in the nation's public schools. I can see why secularists would look on the Bible as dangerous. They have no answer to its truth and its life-changing power. Having banned it from the classroom, they now want to ban it from the sidewalk too. Anything to make sure that it doesn't get into the hands of the children They're seeking to train to become ardent secularists. This is all the more reason why we must ensure that we succeed in getting the Scriptures into the hands of both children and adults everywhere. Secularists recognize the danger that the Bible represents for their agenda, and so should we. The Word of God, says Hebrews 4:12, is quick or alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Spread the word.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation, and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, a little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stand, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there is any way in which we can help you, please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS at freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. So you see, it's really easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. It's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Now, returning this morning as we continue the studies in the life of Christ to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, we're going to commence reading at verse 14. Now, you will remember we're going to read the passage 14 to 34. But you will remember that we're looking at the life of Christ. We're not trying to expound all that he said and deal with every subject that's raised in the Bible readings. Otherwise, this would be an utterly interminable series. Some of you may think that anyway, but we are going to be looking at this more as what it teaches us about the Savior himself, as is our usual practice. So verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But When the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. It's a sobering thought that the worst demonstrations of human depravity often come from the most unexpected places. This morning, before coming out to the service, I was going through the 58th Psalm. And I noticed in the opening verses how the psalmist was struck by the same thought. "Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men?" That was obviously the boast of the people of David's day. But he goes on to say, "Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth." You speak righteousness, but in reality work great wickedness in the heart. Now the Jews of Christ's day would have looked for depravity in the publicans and in the sinners, and perhaps even more so in their hated heathen Roman conquerors. And there's no doubt that they wouldn't have looked in vain, that they could have found evidences of great depravity in the Romans and in the publicans and sinners among the Jews. But for the blackest depths of human wickedness, what can compare with the first verse that we read today, verse 14 of Matthew chapter 12? "Then," now understand the connection. The Lord Jesus Christ had just commanded a man whose hand was withered to stretch it forth. It was the Sabbath day, it was in the temple. Jesus said, "Stretch forth your hand." Now every other person round about was doing the very same thing. The Pharisees themselves took it for granted that they could stretch forth the hand on the Sabbath day. But when Jesus said to this man, "Stretch forth your hand," and that withered hand received strength, and he stretched forth his hand, and it was as whole as the other, then, verse 14, the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. Now that gives us a chilling commentary on the nature of fallen man. Like the Jews, we can see depravity on every side. We can see it in all the expected places. But the worst depravity of all is very often seen where we would expect to find a happy acceptance of God and of His Christ. It is certainly true in our day that the Lord Jesus Christ is wounded in the house of His friends. He's rejected by those to whom He has done the most obvious good. His greatest enemies are not found among the communists and the atheists, though they are His enemies, but they are to be found among the apostates who infest His church and who use His church as a base from which to launch their attacks on the Lord Jesus Christ. Sad to say, even His own people, believers in Christ, are far from blameless in the church and in the world. For all too often, even among Christians, we find the dregs, the bitter dregs of depravity. How often a Christian who is called upon to withstand the attack of the world, the onslaught of the devil, who every day has to go into a home situation or a work situation that is altogether challenging to them and antagonistic to all they love and stand for, how often that Christian comes among the people of God and instead of finding there the help and the comfort and the support and the prayerful love that they should expect, they are instead met with a blitzkrieg of criticism, bitterness, anger, and all the things that ought not to be marking the people of God and ought not to be infecting the pure stream of the fellowship of God's church. Once again, our Savior wounded in the house of His friends. Depravity, where you would least expect it. Certainly that was the case in Matthew 12. As soon as the Pharisees began to plot His destruction, the Lord Jesus Christ withdrew. That was His usual procedure. You read it right throughout the New Testament. On every time when the Pharisees sought a confrontation of this nature, the Lord Jesus always withdrew, at least until His hour had come. And as He withdrew, He went to another place, continued His ministry of grace, healing and touching the lives of all who came in contact with Him. And in many ways in that, you know, He gives us a lesson in commitment. I don't want to take time on this morning. The Lord Jesus refused to allow the Pharisees to terminate His ministry. They were going to oppose it in one place. He simply moved to another. But He went there with the same commitment, the same fire, the same zeal, the same love. And He continued on with the work of God. I sometimes think that we are very easily put off in our ministry for Christ. We're very easily made to give up and shut up. We witness to one person and we find a little difficulty, so we give up witnessing to any people instead of moving on to the next one. We've never been told that we're going to win every soul that we ever approach for Christ. We've never been told that we're going to win in every single situation, but we are told where you don't get through here, move on. If you're not welcome here, move on. But don't give up the work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do not give up your commitment to serve Christ and spread His word abroad in the world. The Lord Jesus certainly did that, though in doing so, He deliberately did not cause needless controversy. He continued as the meek, the gentle, and the mild. So fulfilling, as we have read this morning, the words of Isaiah chapter 42, where the Lord speaks of His elect servant whom He has loved and delighted in.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.